Welcome to CWC Dive Deep, where we take a deeper look into this past Sunday's message, seeking to grow in our faith and learn more about God. I'm your host, Caleb Swartz, the Spiritual Formation Director, with Pastor Mike today. How are you, Pastor Mike?
Hey, Caleb. I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing terrific. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much.
Yeah,
it's really good to be with you.
Really enjoyed the message this past week, so I'm glad to be able to take a few minutes and really dive deeper with you. We were looking at heart work, and you were specifically presenting the idea of a transformed life or transformed living.
Mm-hmm.
So what I wonder is, as you talked about those redwoods, right, it really got my mind thinking, and I'm wondering, what in your spiritual growth has been the point of greatest resistance, or what has strengthened you the most?
There was a moment in our journey, my journey and Jill's journey, where before we were here at Christ Wesleyan and I had the privilege to be on staff, we had prayed for God to work, just to guide us in our futures. We were fairly newly married, seeking his direction. And I taught high school math for a year, which is a little known fact. And I want to honor those who are teachers and do that for the long haul. I realized quickly that that wasn't something that God had cut me out to do. And we continued to pray about this and thought, like, Lord, please lead us to what you have for us. You know, keep our eyes open to doors. We searched out a couple different things. And finally, we ended up at the place where we just said to God, Lord, we surrender this to you and trust your timing, which meant I was going to teach for a couple more years. Jill was going to continue in her schooling. And there was that point of surrender. And wouldn't you know, within a week or two, Pastor Arley called and said, hey, Mike, would you be interested in talking about an opportunity that we have to minister here at Christ Wesleyan with young adults? And I share that to say that it was something that really spoke to me and how God was saying to us that I want your hearts to be in the right place before anything else happens. And so it took that moment of surrender, I believe, for him to say, now that you're trusting me with this, I'm going to guide you forward. So those points of surrender, when there's something that, you know, I've held on more than I've trusted God with it, those have been those points of resistance where I've seen God move and thank him as I kind of, we talked about yesterday, like taking a step of faith and then looking back to see, okay, God, yeah, you really have guided this. And I'm thankful for that. I mean, it's obviously his work, you know, and he's still working on me.
Yeah. And it's so neat to hear that, because I really do hear the core of heart work in what you're saying there. I know Michelle and I had a very similar experience in our infertility journey where, you know, we got to a point where we were, our hearts were broken enough that we said, okay, God, it's going to be whatever you decide, whatever mm-hmm, you choose. Mm-hmm. God was really kind to us, and within a short order had, you know, connected us with Anna's birth mom and had started that process, which was amazing because that was clear out of the blue for us. It was, adoption wasn't a thought at that point when we surrendered.
Mm-hmm.
But God took us there. And I don't want, we don't want to put this formula out, of course, that, you know, at the moment sure. of surrender,
right.
you know,
right.
God gives you what you want. So what's your response to that?
Well, I think that's just important to keep in mind. Like when we talk about answered prayer, for mm-hmm. example, like, and we're seeking God to answer prayer, it's important for us to know, like, if God's answering a prayer, no is an answer.
Right.
So for to share what I shared, or for, you know, for you to share what you shared, it doesn't mean that it's formulaic or there's a blueprint to say, mm-hmm. just say, God, I trust you. And then, like, he's going to say, okay, great. You know, here's this thing, you know, great thing. It means, like, aligning my thoughts with really what his will is. And I think the best example is Jesus in the garden to say, Lord, if there's any way that you can do this, please. But all other than, you know, taking that road mm-hmm. up Calvary, but I trust you mm. and your will be done. So it comes at that point of surrender. And that's really where I believe that growth process happens, because anyone that is around any one of us during that moment of surrender, we have the opportunity to point others to Christ as we ourselves have our eyes fixed on him.
Right. Yeah. Well, and it goes perfectly with this idea of, you'd mentioned about taking every thought captive. And so when you're in those moments of surrender, it's almost like so you surrender the situation to God, and your situation or circumstances may not change at all, but you now have the opportunity to change. God can change your perspective, on what you're facing. And I think that that is so powerful because, again, what we do is we have to take these thoughts captive. So Jesus is in the garden, confronted with what's ahead of him, and he decides to take his thoughts captive and really surrender it to God. So talk about that process of taking thought captive.
It made me think of a quote that I read by Chuck Swindoll that said, "Life is 10% what happens to me and 90% of how I react to it." Mm.
Yeah.
So it's, or I heard Craig Groeschel say something to the effect of, it's not so much what happens to us, but it's the perspective we have about what happens to us. Mm-hmm. So are we really operating out of our identity in Christ? Because I think oftentimes we can take so much ownership of thoughts that the enemy would want to plant in our minds, or, you know, a passing thought or something to say, like, this thought is you. Mm-hmm. Versus saying, no, I have my identity in Christ. Mm-hmm. And allowing that to drive responses to thoughts to say, no thought, that's not me. That's not who I am in Christ. So you're going to take a backseat. You're going to go to jail, you know, whatever it is, you know, like, going to lock you up.
Yeah.
And I am who I am because of who Jesus is. So that's kind of something that I found really helpful, is just typing out who I am in Christ. Mm-hmm. And sometimes verbalizing those things out loud. Now, I might not always feel compassionate. I might not always feel gentle, but when I say that out loud, or I look at that, you know, I am compassionate, I am gentle, for example, or whatever, that helps me to fix my eyes on Christ, because Christ is compassionate. Mm-hmm. Christ is gentle, and other, you know, characteristics of who we are in our relationship with Jesus.
Right.
But I'm just saying, like, if we continue to go back to the source, he fuels us other than us trying to like arm wrestle ourselves and like, man, how do I get over this? You know?
Yeah. It's interesting that you bring that up, because I think a lot of us, we may look at the things that we do in our life and say, well, this feels very exhausting, or this is very tiring, but still choose to do them because we know that they're a good thing and we're going to serve other people by doing them. Is there anything wrong with that? What would you say to somebody that's finding themselves in a season of life where they're doing the right thing, but there's not really emotion behind it? There's not this deep compassion that we see. They're doing it because they know it's right.
Yeah, man, there's so many spokes in that wheel. I think there's a lot of questions that I would want to ask, like, how does your daily calendar look? How does your weekly calendar look? Mm-hmm. And what types of steps are there? Because I've been listening to a book that talks about just the process of growth, relationally, emotionally, physically, you know, just growth period. And the idea that stress plus rest equals growth. Mm-hmm. And not stress meaning like, oh, I'm stressed, but like there's exertion and then I'm going to rest so I can recover and I'm going to grow. Mm-hmm. That means that stress plus stress does not equal growth. That means that rest plus rest does not equal growth. It's the two in tandem. So what does it look like to be connected to the body of Christ? You know, how much are we allowing ourselves to take wise steps of care so that we can care for others? Mm-hmm. I mean, I think of the illustration of when you're on a plane, what's the first thing that they do? They tell you how to buckle your seatbelt. And if there's an emergency, something's going to drop down, put your mask on first so you can be connected to the source of life, the oxygen, so that you can help others. Mm-hmm. And so if someone's going, you know, doing the right things, but not necessarily feeling it, again, there's a lot of spokes in the wheel.
Sure. Yeah.
Carrie Newhoff, is a pastor that said, eventually our emotions catch up with our obedience. Mm-hmm. So it's really imperative that we take thoughts and emotions captive and say, I'm a child of God. I'm going to walk forward step by step obediently. And then I think in a situation as you're referring to, Caleb, it's an opportunity to evaluate maybe how specific things play out in the day to day and the week to week. And that can happen really well when we step into an accountability relationship, when we step into a group environment, a Bible study, because I think about the idea that we find in Proverbs, the truth that if you walk with the wise, you become wise, but a companion of fools suffers harm. Mm-hmm. So who are we surrounding ourselves with? Who are we learning from? And are we really seeking out, kind of Paul said, Paul's words were, imitate me, you know, because mm-hmm. I'm living out who Christ is in me. And he wasn't saying that arrogantly. He's just saying, hey, I just want to encourage you, find a good example and learn from. So there's a lot of things, and to answer that specifically and say, hey, here's the 5-step process, there's a lot of things to evaluate. But if you're listening and you're there, I would say find a godly person to say, hey, can I talk with you through some things? And could you ask me some questions to help draw out what you see? Mm-hmm. Because I've got blind spots and I want to ride this, you know, journey together with others. So,
yeah, absolutely. So obviously there's a spectrum there that sure. people are on, a continuum yep. that they move through. And the best thing to do is really to have a one-on-one conversation to help understand where you're at.
Yeah. And another thought that comes to mind is the fact that if we're at that place where it's like, oh, what, why am I not, you know, I would say, look at the flip side of that coin and say, wow, God is opening my mind too. See, there's some resistance there. Right. If we're like, oh, I want to be in this place, you know, maybe, you know, because I hear you saying, like, if someone's frustrated and it seems as though they're taking the right steps,
sure.
like, look at that as an opportunity that the Holy Spirit's stirring in your thoughts to say, okay, you have a desire to be following me and for things to be working out. That doesn't mean that it cannot happen. It just means that we need to work on something that's before you that maybe you can't see. So the tendency will be to be stuck in the frustration versus stepping forward and connecting with the body of Christ. The enemy is there to seek, kill, and destroy, or to discourage, derail, and you know, distract. But when we connect to the body of Christ, we therefore are able to minister to one another beneficially.
Yeah. And it's so easy to be distracted in what we do, and especially how we prioritize, which I really appreciated the fact that that was a very practical application you gave us at the end. Looking at priorities, besides maybe obvious ones like devotion and prayer and some of those, what is a priority that is high on your list that people may go, oh, that's neat, or they may not know about you?
I don't know. I guess the one that comes to mind is it falls into one of those categories, but, you know, is interrelated in that I'm not a great cook, but on the days that I'm home in the mornings and not at the office, I really enjoy making bacon and eggs and pancakes with my girls. And
meaning
my wife Jill and our daughters Evelyn and Julia. And so it's just God's been teaching me that in order for me to make sure that everything is working well, it starts with who I am as a follower of him, a husband to Jill, a daddy to Evelyn and Julia. And it's just so much fun to have moments where it's like, continue to seek to have my best that I have for you, Mike, and let everything else be an outpouring of that. And so, now, I mean, if you're listening and you're single, that doesn't mean that you can't, you know, work out this process. It just means invest in those relationships that God has placed in your life with godly people around you and see how consistently he's going to guide you to grow. Because the fallacy is that, man, if I'm intense for like 5 minutes or a day or a week, you know, like it's going to be great. Well, it might feel great for a moment, but we need to think about consistency, because redwoods grow one day at a time. It doesn't happen overnight. And if we get lost in this microwave mentality, we're going to be kind of like James said, a ship tossed to and fro by the waves versus a focused beacon that is shining for Christ.
Mm-hmm. So out of that, what is a challenge that you'd like to leave listeners with?
The thing that comes to my mind is where we were yesterday, of those three P's, or, you know, three S's came to mind: surrender. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe something that kind of came to mind was, you know, what if I want to do this, but I feel guilty that I don't yet like have that desire. Don't run from that. Like, take that thought to Jesus Christ. Like, he knows our thoughts. So like, if a thought comes in, it's like, man, you know, like, what am I going to do? I feel guilty about this. Just take it to Jesus. Hey, Jesus, here's this thought. What do you want to do with it? You know, surrender that and say, Lord, help me. Change my heart. Change my attitude. Search me and know me. So maybe it's just simply surrendering and saying, God, help me to have the desire to do this, and see how he's going to answer that one day at a time. Maybe it's starting somewhere and engaging, because of who you know you are in Christ, in an environment that you will grow within. Maybe that's in a Bible study. Maybe that's taking a step to serve, you know, because when we grow, when we're in a group, we grow and we serve, and the focus becomes on Christ and on others versus ourselves. So it could be that, or simply could be persevering. And if you're kind of maybe between the start somewhere or the stay planted, I would say look for someone you can invest in, because you've been designed to do that. Don't let the good stop with you. We're riverbeds. We're not a pond that water flows into and then stinks after a week and has a bunch of bugs and mosquitoes. No, it's like fresh water going through us, you know, daily, weekly, monthly, yearly, so that eternally praise can flow from our lips. So it's remembering the process, being patient in it, and growing one day at a time.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much for sharing some of that insight.
Sure.
This has been, it's been fun to go through Heartwork, and looking forward to next week as we jump back into Empowered. So thanks for joining us today on CWC Dive Deep. And I hope you were challenged and encouraged to grow in your faith by what you've heard here. Check back with us next Monday as we meet back with Pastor Arley to discuss Empowered. Stay connected with us throughout the week by following CWC Life on Facebook, and be sure to visit our website, cwc.life, where you can find more messages to dive deep into. Thanks, and have a great week.